This is my, I guess, my third time to minister, and I appreciate that opportunity, and I'm thankful to God. You guys have become home for me, and I appreciate that, and I just want you to know that I'm just so thankful to be a part of this fellowship and a part of what God's doing, and I love our pastor. He's been so good to me. It's been beyond anything I could possibly begin to tell you folks, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful that he recognizes the gift of God even when I started to not recognize it myself, and gives me the opportunity to release that and stir it up, and we're going to do that today. Amen.
Good that you're here.
Thank you, sir. Several years ago, I began to talk with the Lord concerning an area that I believe that as the body of Christ has been taught in this area, that you know how some things, it seems like when you get a revelation of God, it goes from one end of the spectrum all the way to the other, and then finally it'll come down to the middle and we'll get a good balanced walk with what God's doing. It's like when praise and worship started to first come into the body of Christ, we had people take it to a way extreme, and we saw things that were not godly. We saw things that were very, very fleshly. But, you know, the truth of the matter is we have to work through those things and bring it back to the place where we understand how to walk and flow in the Spirit with praise and worship. Because, see, with anything that we do, we can become involved with it by performance, by our flesh. Now, the truth of the matter is I can't worship without my flesh. You know, my spirit wants to worship God, and the way that I release that is my flesh get involved. And you know, the Bible tells us is we know in part, we hear in part, and if we'll keep doing our part, we'll get the whole. And so we learn those things. Well, there was a message that began, began when the Bible was written, but in the body of Christ, and especially in America, there was a message that began that absolutely went from one end of the spectrum to the other. And then it's like now, when I say this word, a lot of folk begin to shut their ears down because they don't want to hear any more about it. Because they've heard so much, they feel like, oh, I can't hear anymore. I've tried that. It didn't work. I saw that. Some people have taken that to such an extreme that I can't deal with it. I felt judgment from that. And that is the message of faith. And I want to talk to us about faith. I began to pray about 20 years ago, and I said, Lord, and I was a part for years of a church that was a part of the faith movement. And I want you to know, I have no regrets. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I'm thankful for the word of faith, but I know that if we're not careful, people take that word and that message and running up a flagpole to where it's way up there and it's not attainable. Yeah. And if we're called to walk by faith in church, we've got to find something that's attainable to walk with. Yeah. And so I began to ask the Lord, and I've never preached this message. And when I began to pray, when Pastor talked to me about preaching this morning, I began to pray, well, Lord, am I going to take grace to another level? Or are we going to talk about this? And then it was like I couldn't get anything out of my mind with this phrase that I'm going to give you in just a moment. And so I said, oh, yes, Lord, finally, I get to preach this message. And it may not take very long. It may take a long time. I don't know. We're just going to obey God this morning. But what I hope that I can do is cause us to see something about faith that will change our lives forever. And that by the birthing of this in the Spirit, in our midst, that all of us will grab this at wherever we are. We're all at different levels. The truth of the matter is, some of us have got levels that we're strong. Some of us have got levels that we're not so strong. But we're working on it. Amen? That's what it's all about, is we're working. Salvation is a process. The pastor's been talking to us about that recently. It's a process, and we're walking through this process, and we're learning, and we're coming into what God has for us. Now, I realized when I got here this morning, I forgot my glasses. So this is going to be interesting, but I want you to know I'm going to believe God for my eyesight. So this may be a faith walk this morning. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, it says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Now, The last time I spoke, we spoke about grace. We said that grace is the unmerited favor of God. Grace is the divine influence of God upon our heart and its reflection in our life. Grace is God's ability in us to do what we don't have the ability to do. And grace is the operational power of God. We nailed that in. That's a whole message on those four facts. And that grace, salvation, is a work in our lives that we have nothing that we can do to make it happen. It's by grace. It's by the ability of God. I'm saved because of what God did, not because of what Mike did.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. And you know what? What keeps me saved is not what Mike does. It's what God does. It's what God did. That's what keeps me saved. That's what keeps me moving into what God has for me. And I thank God for His grace. And we looked at the fact that, according to Hebrews, that when we come to the throne of grace, that's where we obtain grace. When we come to the throne of grace. So when we come in our praise and our worship, when we come in our word time, when we come in our prayer time, when we come to church, when we're walking in obedience to God, then we are finding ourselves in a place that grace is released on our behalf. And it's not anything we can do to obtain it. It's just we meet Him and He says, I've got more than you'll ever give me. That's the God we serve. He says, you can't even look my way without me giving you something greater.
Come on.
Wow. I'm telling you, who needs anything more than that? He says, you can't come to me in any measure that I'm not going to give to you in a greater measure. That's the God you serve. When my children come to me, I have four children. When they come to me, y'all, I would give them everything I have. All they have to do is ask. They're not here this morning, so they're not hearing that right now. But but they know that.
Yeah.
You know, they'll come and say, you know, Dad, that chair looks really good, but boy, I've got a perfect place for that. Next thing you know, I'm loading up that chair in their car. Because that's the kind of dad I am. Because you know what? I get another chair.
That's true.
And if I don't, then every time I go to their house, I see Dad's chair in their house. And it blesses me. I'm just that kind of dad. But guess what? My Heavenly Father is so much greater in His giving toward me. It just blows my mind sometimes. He's been so good to me. So good to me. And whatever measure I step toward Him, He gives to me. Now, a lot of us will say, well, you know, Mike, I'm not seeing that. I'm not seeing that. Well, then I want to encourage you this morning. And I'm an encourager. I think in Romans, it talks about the motivational gifts of the body of Christ. And I'm an exhorter. That's my gifting. I'll exhort you. And I'll get around folks and I'll just listen for a little bit. And I'll try to find something positive. And y'all, it's not a natural gifting. That's a spiritual gifting. I can't take any credit for it. I just start saying, trying to see something I can pull and exhort you and lift you up and build you up and give you something to go forward with and don't get in agreement with the gloom, doom, and despair and agony on me and deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Y'all, I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. That stuff was just nailed in my head. I was born and raised in Nashville, Tennessee. I don't know if y'all knew that or not. But I was around, and I grew up in the days of hee-haw. You younger people don't know what hee-haw is, but the rest of us do, because it was our Saturday night entertainment forever. But that gloom, despair, I mean, it's out there. But I want you to know something today. Every act of obedience you've ever, ever walked before God, walking in this place today is causing grace to be applied to your life. When you get up in the morning, you say, oh, Lord, it's morning. No, you say, good Lord, good morning. Good morning, Lord. Or good Lord, it's morning. Instead of, oh, Lord, it's morning. Good Lord, it's morning. Good morning, it's Lord. Whatever it is. I mean, every time you acknowledge Him, grace is applied. Grace is released. And there's some folks today, you're so full of the grace of God, and you've never tapped into it. But you're abundant with the grace of God. You're abundant with the ability of God to do in you what you don't have the ability to do. I'm abundant with the divine influence of God upon my heart and its reflection in the necessary area of my life. I'm abundant with the operational power of God. If it's operating, that means it works.
Amen.
If it's operating, that means it works. And I don't know about you folks, but I need some things that are working right now. I need something that's working. Because I've tried the things that don't work. I've tried to do it Mike's will and Mike's way. But God's will done God's way never lacks God's power. Mm-hmm. Write that down. God's will. Done God's way. That might not be good English, but it works for me. God's will. Done God's way. Never lacks God's power. God's will. Done God's way. Never lacks God's power. And if there's anything that we need more of today, it's the power of God released on our behalf. There's some folks today, you need the power of God in your finances. I'm one of you. There's some folks today that needs the power of God released on behalf of their physical bodies. There's some folks today that needs the power of God released on behalf of their children and grandchildren. Amen. God's will, done God's way, never lacks God's power. And as we press into God, in whatever measure, in a greater measure, we receive grace. That's important to know. But it says here in Ephesians that said, we're saved by grace through faith. Through faith. Say the word faith.
Faith.
Okay, now I'd like for everybody to help me this morning. Everybody say with me, faith.
Faith.
Thank you, thank you. See, I like for us to be active.
I did a message one time on how to have a successful church service. There were 3 points. Number one, you got to show up. Number two, you got to participate. Number three, you got to be a doer of that. So, simple sermon. But it's amazing. There's some folks this morning that show up. So, guess what? We're going to have successful churches this morning. And they're going to lay at home and wonder what happened. And they may even hear about some good things that happened. And say, man, I should have been there. You know what? How many times if we didn't go and something on the inside said, get up and go? Last Saturday, I had a rough time, had a rough day. Had just a rough day. Sunday morning, I didn't feel like coming to church. And I got up and made myself some coffee, talked to myself. And myself was saying, you know, nobody's going to miss you if you don't go. It don't make any difference if you don't go. You know, just don't get up. Just stay here. And I go, no, I'm going to press through this thing. And I'm going to church. And I threw me on some blue jeans and a pullover shirt and I came to church. And I walked in, there was all these people. And I'm like, I would have hated to have missed this. I would have hated to have missed what a move of God we had to say. And Sharon, I just want to thank God. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, before you knew, He knew what He put in you. And that you've never, ever begin to understand what all He wants to release from you. Keep your eyes on Him and watch and see what He's going to do in the near future. But rejoice in the fact that what He's begun in you is going to infiltrate those beings. And you're going to begin to see the gifts and callings of God in greater measure in your children than your children's children. And you're going to see it. And the Lord's going to show you when to speak and when not to speak. And as you begin to see it, begin to pray. And watch and see that anointing come out even in greater measure in them than what you see in your life. Hallelujah. The Lord gave you that word last week. And He said, Lord, when am I supposed to deliver that? And He just said, just now. So you receive that word. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I want to say this about faith. See, we're saved by grace through faith. Now, the message of faith has been a misused and abused message. I've been around folk who took the faith message and became spiritual monitors in the house of God. And what I mean by that is, if you opened your mouth and said anything that was not remotely close to what they thought faith said, then they would jump on you in a heartbeat. Say, don't be speaking that stuff. Don't be doing it. And you got to the point that you feel like you couldn't even breathe without somebody judging what was going on in your life. Now, I want to learn about faith. I want to walk in faith. I want to live by faith. Because the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. I don't know about you guys, but right now, there's not anybody in this world I want to please more than I want to please him. So if it takes faith to please him, then I want to be found in faith. And that word faith, there's something that we need to understand. This is kind of just a little sideline, we'll go right back over here. Is that in order for faith to be seen, it requires faithfulness. In order for faith to be understood, it requires faithfulness. One of the fruits of the Spirit is faithfulness. In Galatians, I think it's Galatians, verse 22 in there somewhere. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness. And faithfulness is one of the fruit of the Spirit. And we walk in love. We all like to walk in love. Love is a good thing to walk in. But guess what? We got to walk in faithfulness. We love peace. We like to walk in peace. Peace is a part of the Spirit. So we walk in peace. It's good for us to walk in long-suffering and gentleness and goodness. But we got to walk in faithfulness. And in faithfulness, the Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So if there's something that we know that we need to do because it's good and we're not doing it, it's called sin. Now, I'm not saying that to make us feel bad. I'm saying it because I want to encourage us. If there's something we need to be faithful with in order to become, to exude the fruit of the Spirit, then we need to start walking in it and allowing God to bring that fruit through our lives and we can see the fullness of God. Okay, this is my definition of faith. That I heard when I started praying and I started asking the Lord, give me something to make it simple. Because that's the way I am. If it's not simple, I don't understand it. If it's not something that I can hold on to and understand, then I'm going to question whether or not I've got it right. And I said, I want to hear what you say faith is so that I can receive it and walk in it. Now, I've never heard anybody say what I'm going to say to you. I think I said it a couple of weeks ago. But I've never heard preachers say this. And I've been walking in this for about 20 years, but especially in the last 10 years, I've been stirring it over and over and over. And in the last 2 weeks, it's become a daily part of my thinking and a daily part of my time with God. And that is this, that faith, you've got four blank spots on the back of your paper. This is what these four blank spots are. If you don't write down anything else today, you write down this. And you're going to say, Mike, that's too simple. But you know what I've learned is the good things about God. Always are. Faith is the yes. Oh, wait, I got too many words. This is this. Faith, the yes of God. Faith, the yes of God. Say that with me. Faith, the yes of God. One more time. Faith, the yes of God. Now, I want you this week, if you can, sometime, maybe even this afternoon, get alone with your Bible. Look in the back of your Bible and look at the word faith. And then find some scriptures and then that have that word in it. And especially in the New Testament, which most of them are in the New Testament. There's one there in Habakkuk. But you'll see faith is, I think, 225 times listed in the New Testament. And every time you read that word faith, instead of saying the word faith, say the yes of God. See, the just shall live by the yes of God. By the yes of God. Without the yes of God, it's impossible to please him. So what's going to please God in my life? The yes of God. The yes of God. See, I'm saved by grace through the yes of God. I tell y'all what, I can say amen, go home and I have church. That's simple, but I want you to grab this with me this time. And I want us to begin to churn that over and I want you to begin to think about it. I had a pastor one time, when he talked about meditating the Word and really chewing on the Word, he said it's like a cow, you know, that chews cud. You know, cows have got several stomachs, and they eat that grass, and they chew on it, and they swallow it, and then they bring it up, and then they chew on it, and they swallow it, and it goes to a different stomach. And I know that sounds a little gross, but It's a good thing to think about. And they chew on it a while. And what we need to do is we need to chew that faith is the yes of God. Because you see, so much, and I'm so thankful for the teaching about the elder brother. Because so much of what we've heard in the body of Christ is, no, don't, stop, you can't, don't do that. But faith is a yes of God. You know what? I have a sneaking suspicion that if we get involved more in what God is saying to do and less involved in what God is saying not to do, that we won't ever have to deal with the not to's because we're faithful to walk in the yes of God. And that will change our lives. You say, well, you know, if people would only do this, or people would only do that, or they wouldn't do this, or they wouldn't do that. Well, let's just be found in the yes of God. Let's just be found in the things that God's saying for the yes. Turn with me to the book of Romans. Y'all like that?
Uh-huh.
I do too. I'm going to start in Romans chapter 9. And I'm going to start with verse 30, and I'm going to read through chapter 10 and verse 10. So that's about 13 scriptures we're going to read here. It says, what shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. The Gentiles were walking in the righteousness of the yes of God. When you and I got saved, the yes of God happened. See, we just finally opened up to the yes of God. And the grace did the work. And the yes of God worked. He says, but Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith. But, as it were, by the works of the law. They were doing the do's and don'ts. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. That's talking about Jesus. And the Jewish people were the Pharisees and the Sadducees, all these folks were having a hard time with Jesus, but that's why. Because they wanted the righteousness and the salvation to come through the works and by the law. And Jesus said, I'll take care of that. And he took care of everything on the cross. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God and according to knowledge, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law, but righteousness to everyone who believes. Did I read that right? For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about righteousness, which is of the law, the man who does those things, excuse me, shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith, of the yes of God, speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven. I'm sorry I didn't bring my glasses. That is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of the yes of God, which we speak, preach. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, man or one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. Now, that's the way salvation, the process begins in our life. We believe in our heart, we confess with our mouth. Now, there's a lot of people have taught that the work of salvation begins there and it stops there. But that's not true. The principle of believing in your heart and speaking with your mouth is the way that we continue to walk by faith. Because see, faith is the yes of God. And you say, well, But Mike, how do I know what the yes of God is? Know this. When we know what this says, we have the yes of God. Now, as I demonstrated when we were talking about praise and worship, and that praise and worship is a weapon of our warfare, and that one of the things we talked about is the Word of God is a weapon of our warfare, there is a process of the yes of God becoming alive to us. And that is this, that there are the things about God that I can tell you right now, I believe it with all my heart, there's no doubt. I believe it in my heart, I confess it with my mouth. I know that I know that I know that I know. And one of those things is that I believe that God inhabits the praises of his people. There's no doubt about that to me. There's no question about that. I don't have any apprehensions. If I'm at home in my little house, and I have a little big house, and it was just a one-bedroom garage apartment, and if I'm at home in my little bitty place of peace, and I begin to worship God, I have no doubt that he doesn't inhabit my praises. And there are times I don't feel God. And you know, we're not moved by our senses. Because we're moved by what faith says. We're moved by the yes of God. So if there's a time when I don't sense his presence, then what I'm going to do is turn on my praise. When you turn on your praise, you'll start beginning to sense the presence of God. Because God inhabits the praises of his people. When we come together and we begin to worship, then God inhabits this place. And it gives us an opportunity, excuse me, for all kinds of things to happen. But the greatest thing is the things that I know that the Word of God says, and I've taken those things in my mind, in my heart, I believe in my heart and I begin to confess with my mouth. Then those things, the more I believe it, and the more I confess it, the more I believe it, and the more I confess it, the more that yes of God becomes alive on the inside of me. And then it becomes like nature. Then it becomes like nature to me. Because I know that if I begin to praise him, he inhabits the praise of his people. Now, I believe the hand and the presence of God is always in my life. And one of the neat things about God, I was thinking about this when I was driving up here this morning, is, you know, we're all worried about, well, is it my faith? Is it God's faith? Is it the faith of others? Or what, you know, what is it that happens? And I, that's why I began to pursue this message and began to pursue, God, make this simple so that I can understand. And that's when the Lord spoke to me, faith, the yes of God. Because I began to understand that as I understand his word, as I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth, as I take that word in and I begin to chew on it and I begin to think about it and I begin to read it and I begin to reread it and I begin to reread it. And I love to take the different versions, and sometimes a pastor teaches out of different versions, and to see what they say here and to see what they say here. Take the Amplified with all these adjectives. Sometimes it gets aggravating, but sometimes it's really exciting. Is you take all these adjectives and it helps to describe what God is saying. In Joshua 1, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you'll meditate therein day and night, so that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Well, see, we want to get to the prosperity and the success, and God says, well, let's go back. There's a beginning here, and that is that we begin to meditate on the Word of God. We begin to think on the yes of God. And there's some folks in here today, there's some areas in your life you've been believing God. You've been wanting to see a breakthrough. You've been wanting to understand a release of the power and the life of God in this situation. And I want to encourage you today, find what the Word says. Get you some scripture. And begin to mull that over in your mind. Thank you, Debbie. Begin to mull that over in your mind. Begin to think about that word. Begin to meditate on that word. Begin to speak that word. And it's like you do get to that point where you say, what is it in the scripture? We've been made more than conquerors. Well, sometimes in my life, it looks like everything else is conquering than me. Sometimes it feels like everything else has been made more than a conqueror to me. Well, I began to meditate that scripture and begin to know that the greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Well, there are times that it looks like the world's whipping my backside. But you see, I've got to understand that the yes of God, the fact that the greater one has got to become more evident to me than my natural circumstances. Because we're not moved by our senses. We're not moved by what we see. We're not moved by what we hear. We're not moved by what we say. We're not, well, we're moved by what we say, but we're not moved by the five physical senses. We're moved by the Word of God. The difference between fact and truth, we talked about that before. The fact is what the Word says. The truth may be that you're dealing with a difficult situation. The truth may be your body's giving you all kinds of symptoms. The truth may be is there's more bills than there are money. But what is the fact? I mean, that may be the fact, but what does the truth say? Let me re-say that because I don't want to mess that up. The fact may be that there's a lot that'll do tomorrow and there's not enough money. The fact may be that there's a tumor in your body. The fact may be that your children are running wild. The fact may be that your marriage is on a place of breaking up. The fact may be all kinds of negatives and horrible situations. But what we've got to do is not be moved by the fact, but be moved by the truth. We've got to be moved by the yes of God. What does the Word say? Because when I take what the Word says and I begin to meditate it and I begin to stir it and I begin to live it, then I begin to speak it, and I begin to confess it, and I begin to know it. It becomes truth to me, and the truth becomes greater than the fact. And when the truth becomes greater than the fact, guess what? The fact has to line up every time. It has to. It has to. Say it has to. That's good preaching this morning. It has to. And we have to understand that we are in this hour and in this day when there is a lost and dying world that needs to see an example of the overcoming, abundant, loving, life, living, born again child of God, so that they won't say, why do I want to come where you are? Why do I want to come be around you when you're no different than what I see down here? You see, when I begin to live by faith, when I begin to live by the yes of God, then I begin to start seeing God. I begin to start seeing the truth and not the fact of what this world has to offer. Amen? I love the Word of God. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, remember this from the reading there in Romans. Is that when you became born again, it was because you believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth. Now, from this point forward, the yes of God has to be something that I take by believing in my heart and confessing with my mouth. Now, I'm not talking about becoming a robot. I don't know if you've ever been around those Christians that no matter what you do, they're quoting scripture. And there's no life to that. As a matter of fact, I've been around some people who were quote unquote faith walkers who were living in so much bondage that there's no way to see the truth of that. You've got to be able to find a place that the yes of God becomes the foundation, and that's what we're walking in. The yes of God. Okay, I told you to turn to 2 Corinthians. Let me get there real quick here. I like this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and verse 13, says this, but since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. Now, again, he's reiterating here that we must believe and we must begin to speak. And that's just an important process, part of the process of walking by faith, is that we take the truth of God, We believe in our heart and we begin to speak with our mouth. But look at this. He says, but we having the same, and I love this, spirit of faith. There's a spirit of faith. If you've ever been around a group of people very long, you can catch around like a family or even an individual. If you hang out with an individual long, you begin to sense there's something about them. That's the spirit of them. Now, some folks are happy and excited, and they've just got a spirit of gladness, a spirit of excitement. There's some folks that got the doom, gloom, despair, and agony, and deep dark depression, and excess. And I'm telling you, I know a whole family that if they're not miserable, life is not life. They love their misery. And if you hang out around them long and you're not getting miserable, then they'll get on you till you get miserable. Because they don't want you happy, because misery loves company. Misery does love company. And you find out, you hang out with them a little while, you start saying, those people have a spirit of misery. But this scripture here tells us that there is such a thing as a spirit. And let's take it back to the simplicity of what the message of the Lord gave me, is that there is a spirit of the yes of God. I want to be around the spirit of the yes of God. I want to be around folk that are taking the truth and are speaking and living and believing the truth above the fact. And get around that spirit of faith. There's a spirit of faith. And the spirit of faith will help you be encouraged to take that step of faith. And there's not a person in this room today that there's not a step of faith in front of you. Because we walk by faith. And there's a step of faith today. Some folks got here today by faith. There's some folks that will get home today by faith. And then right after that, there may be another step of faith. You know, maybe your body is saying to you, just stay in bed and give up. Well, no, you got to get up and say, no, I'm going to take a step of faith. And I'm going to press through this thing. And I'm going to keep going. And sometimes you can look at your bank account and say, oh, Lord, I just want to give up. I just want to give up. I mean, what am I going to do? You know, it's in the natural. It's not there. In the natural, I just don't see any way possible for me to make it. Then what you have to do is say, you know, Lord, the word says that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I don't see it in the natural. I don't even understand it in the natural. But Lord, I'm going to take a step of faith today. And I'm going to get up and I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep moving forward. And I'm going to see the salvation of my God concerning my finances. I'm going to see the salvation of my God concerning my health. I'm going to see the salvation of my God concerning every aspect of my life. Because that's the yes of God. Because I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. Because the word says, listen to this, you can write these scriptures down if you want to, in Habakkuk 2 and verse 4, in Romans 1 and verse 17, in Galatians 3 and verse 11, and in Hebrews 10 and verse 38. Let me say those again. Habakkuk 2 and verse 4. Is that what I said before? Okay. Romans 1 and verse 17. Galatians 3 and verse 11. And Hebrews 10 and verse 38. It says, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now, if you're born again this morning, you're part of the just. You've been justified by the blood of Jesus. You don't walk in the guilt and the condemnation of the past, but you're walking justified by what Jesus did. And if you're not walking in that today, then what you're saying is the cross was not enough for me. If we're not understanding that I am the just, and you know, the devil will speak to your head right today and say, that doesn't include you.
Yeah.
But he's a liar. Remember what I said the first time I preached? What you got to understand about the enemy is when he speaks to you, he's going to speak the opposite of the truth.
And when he speaks the truth, there is no truth in him. He is not capable of telling the truth. So when the enemy speaks to you, then you and I simply must be, start rejoicing, because we understand that the opposite of what that joker says is the truth. If he says you're not going to make it, hallelujah, you're going to make it. If he says you're going under, hallelujah, you're going over. If he says you're going to die, hallelujah, you're going to live.
Yes.
Amen. You know what? If he takes me out, guess what? I've got ultimate life.
Yeah.
Hit me with your best shot. If he says you're not going to make it, guess what? You're going to make it. You say, but Brother Mike, there's been times I didn't. Guess what? There's been times I didn't either. But it doesn't change the truth. The truth. See, you and I have got to believe the truth more than we believe our past experiences. We've got to believe the truth more than we believe what's happened in the past. Oh, well, you know, mama died of cancer, grandma died of cancer, great-grandma died of cancer. I guess I'll die of cancer. That's not what the truth says. That's not what the truth says. Tell cancer to line up with the truth. Don't give up. Don't go backwards. Go forward. Go with the yes of God. I'm going to live by the yes of God. I'm going to walk by the yes of God. I'm going to speak the yes of God by faith. And sometime this week, those scriptures I just gave you, read every one of those things. The just shall live by the yes of God. By the yes of God. You know, I began to meditate this and began to read it. And there have been times that I've gone to the Lord and I said, you know, Lord, this is what your scriptures say. This is what I'm experiencing. And I just need to know that everything's all right, that I'm not getting, you know, out of balance, or I'm not getting over here, I'm not getting over there, or, you know, I need to know that you're here. I just all I hear is yes. And when I hear that yes, then the thing that rises with me is faith. Yeah, go forward. Faith, go forward. Faith arises. That faith arise and the enemy scatter. Let the yes of God arise and the enemy scatter. I'm telling you, you can take all those scriptures we've learned about faith and begin to speak. Without the yes of God, it's impossible to please him. So what I want to do to please God, I want to get into the yes of God. I want to speak the yes of God. I want to know the yes of God. I want to believe in my heart and confess with my mouth. And that's the way salvation began. It was a gift. The grace of God did something in me I didn't have the ability to do. All I had to do was believe it, confess with my mouth, and God did it. So from that point forward, whatever work God's doing in my life begins, continues, and will end by faith. By the yes of God. By me believing in my heart and begin to speak it with my mouth. By me believing in my heart and speaking it with my mouth. I speak the word of God. The Bible says that the yes of God comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, today, the yes of God is being released in this room. Last Sunday, the yes of God was being released in this room. As I was sitting in my recliner, looking through the scriptures, and began to stir faith, scriptures on faith, the yes of God is being released in my life concerning the yes of God. As I was studying on grace, the yes of God was being released in my life concerning grace. As I plugged in an old, remember when we first started getting involved in praise and worship, we had all those integrity CDs, I don't know if Integrity still has them or not, but y'all know that one Ron Canola, whoever the guy is that did the tape, Jesus is Alive. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. Death has lost its victory and the grave has been denied. I forgot that one. Jesus lives forever. He's alive. I was singing that song this week. And guess what? The yes of God concerning the fact that Jesus is alive was being released in my life. When I got up to go to work and I didn't feel like going to work, guess what I said? Hey, the yes of God says go forward. When I got a bad report from one of my children this week and I started to panic, I went, no, 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 no. and find the yes of God in this. I'm not going to let the enemy rob me this week. I'm not going to let him do it. I'm going to go forward with the yes of God. This ain't helping y'all. It's really helping me. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, you don't have to turn everybody back. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, it says, within every person is a measure of faith. I want you to hear this morning. There are people out there that say, oh, I don't believe in God. There are people out there saying, well, you know, there's no such thing as God. There are people out there that say, well, you know, I tried that and it didn't work. There are people out there that are saying all kinds of things. The Bible says that in every man is a measure of faith. In everybody, there is a measure of the gifts of God. What we need is to pray for a face-to-face experience with the Spirit of God, and that yes will come home. You pray for somebody that's lost? Begin to pray in the Spirit. Begin to pray that that measure of faith on the inside of them will be released to say yes. You see, a lot of folk, I don't want to get in something I don't need to go to right now, but let me just say this a little bit apart from what we're for. I believe when I was a little boy, somebody came to me because I got an emotional service and said, say these words, and you'll be saved. And I said those words and thought, I'm working. Do you know what? I didn't have a face-to-face experience with Jesus. I had a face-to-face experience with somebody that saw that I was emotional about something. And I didn't have a believing in my heart and confessing with my mouth the Lordship of Jesus. I said the words, but there was no heart involvement in it. I was just a little kid emotional that was emotional about something. And then as I got older, I went to as I told you, I grew up in Nashville, Tennessee. I went to Vanderbilt campus to the gym, and there was a preacher that was there, and he was preaching. And I want y'all to know, he scared the hell out of me. So I went forward that day, not because I was believing in my heart and confessing with my mouth, because I was scared about the hell that was in me. And I went forward, and I said, I'm going to get saved. Because I want to go to hell. I want to burn forever. That's all I thought about. And I did not have a heart-to-heart, face-to-face experience with Jesus. And I'm telling you, without a face-to-face experience with Jesus, they're not born again. I wasn't born again. They dumped me down the first time. They dumped me down the second time. When I was 21 years old, in rebellion against everything I ever knew, I was sitting on a piano bench next to a lady that began to sing a song. And she sang, I wake up every morning with a smile upon my face, and I say, hello world, I'm ready to run your race. If anyone should ask why I wear a silly grin, I tell them someone loves me, and it's all because of him. He is my reason for living. He is the blue in my sky. He is my smile when I'm happy. He is the light in my eyes. He is my help. He's the bounce, my step. Whoa! She's a white girl, but she sings like a white baby. She's great. He comforts me when I cry. I have someone who loves me without a reason why. And I'm sitting there on her piano bench. She just wrote this song. And I'm sitting there listening to her sing this song. And I said, I've heard that all my life. And I'm tired of hearing that. He's not the bounce of my step. I've done everything everybody's ever told me to do. I've gone to church. I've paid my tithe. I've prayed. I've read my Bible. I've done everything, and I don't have that. What's wrong with me? I said, I can remember I was sitting on the end of her piano bench while she's singing this song, and I remember sitting there going, my head is so tight. I don't think that nothing will ever get through to me. I said, I don't know that you really care. I said, because I don't understand. It's like nothing's happening. It's like there's nothing alive on the inside of me. And she said, you like that song? I said, sure, it's great. Yeah. She said, I got another song for you. She said, I just wrote this just a couple hours ago. I said, okay. She gave me to play this long arpeggio down. And where she said, are you under more stress than you can bear? Your wheels turn inside, and yet you go nowhere. Is your mind like a clock
that's been wound too tight, causing you to lose sleep. Through endless nights, and see, this is what she's saying. God is aware of what you're going through, and He really cares. There is nothing that life will ever do that He won't go through with you. I'm coming out broken for me. God cares. He cares so much that I was sitting on the end of the piano bench, and everything that was going through my mind came out of it. And I knew that day, 21 years old, I knew Jesus cared about me. And I knew He was in that room. And I knew He was right there, and He was right there for the first time in my life. And I looked at her, and I said, and she looked at me, and tears were streaming out of her. She said, what's wrong? I said, Nancy, does He really care? And she said, she looked at me, and she said, well, you of all people know that. See, I played the game. And I said, no, I don't know that. And I said, you know what, He must care, because every thought I had, you just said. And I bowed my head, sitting on the end of that bench. And I said, Jesus, for the first time in my life, I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth, Your Lordship. And y'all, I'm in Jesus. The yes of God with Him. And I've never been the same. I've messed up. I've tried to prove Him wrong. But I've never been the same. The yes of God became alive on the inside of me. He cared. I don't know what you're going through today. I'm going to end this message. I've got about 60 more scriptures up there, but I'm not going to go there. Because there's somebody today that you need to release the yes of God. There's some folks today that we need to understand that we're called to walk by faith. And that word faith seems so far away and so unattainable. And it's not. It's just simply the yes of God. The yes of God. God saying to you, you say, God, is healing for me? Yes. God, is provision for me? Yes. You deceive to say no is to say that that's not enough. The work of the cross was complete, y'all. He said, well, Mike, why are so many people not walking in it? I don't know. It's not my place to judge. I'm just telling you, every aspect of the yes of God that I began to apply with my life and begin to walk with the understanding of what was wrought on the cross is becoming more and more real every day. In Jude, in the book of Jude, the word says that he says, I want you to contend earnestly for faith, for the faith that was set before you. You know what that means? Is that we've got to fight for the yes of God. Because life is trying to pull the yes of God out of you. Life is trying to keep you from walking in the yes of God. The enemy wants to keep you out of the yes of God. And y'all, he's simple, and he's a liar. And he's, whatever he's going to say is the opposite, is the truth. But if he knows to throw doubt toward your way, will get you off course, that's all he's got to do. If he knows to have somebody walk by you and give you that look of rejection, then he'll send somebody across your path. I've lived that life. You see, the more I walk in the yes of God, the more I understand that acceptance of men is not what completes me. I'm complete in Christ. He is my joy. I love it when we were singing about the joy of the Lord this morning. And you see, happiness is contingent upon outward things. Joy is what's coming inside of us. And I've been in some unhappy situations and the joy of the Lord. Because it's a truth and not necessarily a fact. There's some folks today that you need a yes of God. With every head bowed and every eye closed, would you allow me just a moment to speak to you about the gift of the Holy Spirit that's alive on the inside of me and in this place today and in your situation? Just let me say to you,
is. You've been saying, God, am I ever going to get through this? The answer is yes. You've been saying, God, is it ever going to be different? Is it always going to be this way? Am I ever going to see peace in the midst of this storm? The answer is yes. You've been saying, Lord, I'm all my fight is gone. And I don't know that I've got anything left. Have you got something for me? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Because now you've been called to walk by faith. See, faith changes things. And grace changes me. Changes me. And they work hand in hand. A month ago, we ministered on grace. That grace is the ability of God to do on the inside of you which you don't have the ability to do. Now, let Him do that. And begin to walk by faith. Because life's going to try to make you think that there's not been a change. Your symptoms are going to make you think there's not been a change. The checking account's going to make you think there's not been a change. Begin to take those steps one at a time forward in God. Because the answer is yes. You say, Brother Mike, that could get us in a lot of trouble. Not for being led by His Spirit and not by natural circumstances. Because what Jesus Christ did 2,000 years ago was more than enough for your circumstances. It was a complete work. God ordained that work before the foundation of the world. I've said that a lot today. People love God speaking that so much. But before the foundation of the world, God ordained that Jesus would be the answer for your situation. And 2,000 years ago, He concluded it. Receive the gifts of God. And get involved in the spirit of faith. Not a spirit of doubt and disbelief. A spirit of misery. A spirit of oh me and oh my. But a spirit of yes from God. Find what the Word says. Stir it into heart. Lord, I thank You for everybody here. I thank You, Lord, that there's not a one here, not a one of us, Lord, that's at a place where we can say, well, the yes of God is complete in me. God, we're all at infant steps in some of these areas. We need You. I thank You for Your grace, and that Your grace is here right now, doing in us what we don't have the ability to do. And some folks, that is just simply trying to receive a word of faith. That Your grace is here to do what we don't have the ability to do. And that, Lord, as we leave this place today, we're going to begin to take steps of faith. We're going to walk by faith and not by sight. We're not going to be moved by facts. We're going to be moved by what Your Word says. And that part of the Spirit that's alive on the inside of us, that spirit of faith. And I thank You for that, Father. Lord, cause us to see You in greater measure than ever before. That the yes of God will lead and direct. The yes of God will be evident. And that the yes of God will show others that You are who You say You are. And that You do what You say You do. We thank You for that. Let us be that example. In Jesus' name, everybody agrees there. Amen. Amen. Let me say this one in closing, the last one, last thing. This is what I was thinking on the way over here this morning. I was thinking about 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and the manifestations of the Spirit. And I was thinking that, you know, the manifestations of the Spirit, there's miracles, there's tongues and interpretations of tongues. But one of the things that is a manifestation of the Spirit is the thing I call special faith. And then what special faith is used is when my faith is not enough. The Holy Ghost says, you're not at a point where you can make it happen. The Holy Spirit says, let me do it for you. And special faith by the Spirit of God will bring us where we didn't know what to do. Just yield to the Spirit. Do you know, your Father gave you a win-win situation. He did. He said, well, it's not seeming like that right now. Well, don't be looking at your circumstances. Begin to look to Him. Begin to look to Him. Find yourself at the throne of grace this week. Find yourself at the throne of grace every day this week. These scriptures you wrote down this week, please don't just write them down and go put that piece of paper in your Bible and after a couple of weeks, you know, just throw away all those cumbersome papers. But man, every time you write down those scriptures, every time you fill out that piece of paper, when Pastor Don gives us those words, this week, sit down sometime, just you and the Lord, and go through those notes again. Reread those scriptures. Stir that up on the inside. Write you down a scripture and put it on a 3x5 card and put it in your pocket. And that day begin to memorize that scripture. And the more you memorize it, the more you speak it, the more it becomes alive. And when it becomes alive on the inside of you, then you can fix it. Now I love being with you guys. It's a lot of fun. There is, Pastor Tuck says, there's a spirit to teach in this room because of the body here. And it is really here. And I love it. And I'm not real eloquent, and I stutter sometimes. My kids say everybody needs to sit for a little back because I spit so much. But I tell them I just received the anointing push. But this is such a great place to be. Let's stir the Word of God in our lives. And let's let the Word start making a difference. God's doing something in our midst. I'm telling you what, I don't want to be a part of anything that would cause us to miss the full fruition of what God wants to do. And I'm excited, can't wait. I mean, I got up yesterday. I had to be at a wedding in Lancaster at 2 o'clock and got out of there at 3. And I froze as fast as I could to get here to be a part of the wedding yesterday. And I mean, I don't particularly know a lot of folks here, but something inside me said, Michael, make yourself available and go be a part of what God's doing in my church. And I got to help clean up. I got to help clean up, you know. Yeah. Somebody's got to clean up the sheep shed. That's right. That's right. And you know what? God blesses you for that.
Right.
But you get to really see the truth of one another. You get to find out about each other. Mm-hmm. And I sat at the table with some ladies yesterday, and I got to talk with them and got to find out some things, you know. I mean, I come in and sit in my same spot every week, and I look at the back of Laura Leroy's head, and I hear Jackie behind me usually, and you know, that's about all the ones you get back to and become a part. And we've got to start seeing the blessings and the giftings and the idiosyncrasies. And, you know, we all got quirks.
Yeah.
Some people's quirks are kind of fun. So let's hang out and do all that God's called us to do. Be all that God's called us to do. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. When you go with God this week and read those scriptures, stir the yes of God. And when God speaks something to you this week, you go, wow, I never knew that like I know it now. Because of the yes of God, write that down and let me know about it. That'll encourage me. All right. I love you. We'll see you next week. Anything you put here and there? Either here, there, or in the air, right?